Poor Man's Orange, written by Ruth Park and read by Kate Hood. In this narrow, gutted, dirty old house, squeezed with its elbows flat against its sides between two others, there lived seven people. There was Mr. Diamond, the orangeman, and Hughie Darcy and his wife. Also, there was Delore Darcy, who was 16, and her elder sister, Roey, who lived in one of the attic rooms with her husband, Charlie Roth, and their little girl, Moira, who called herself Motty. There had been two others, Thady, who had been born between Roey and Delore, and who was stolen off the street when he was six and never seen again, and Grandma, dead a long time now, and yet curiously a part of their daily life, a shuffling little ghost, pungent as a whiff of pipe smoke, and Irish as the words that were all she had to leave them. The Irish in these people was like an old song, remembered only by the blood that ran deep and melancholy in veins for two generations Australian. The great tree, kerneled in the rich dust of Patrick and Columbanus, Finn and Brian, and Sheena of the unforgotten hair, the tree whose boughs had torn aside the mist of Ultima Thule, bore in this sun-drowned southern land leaves in which the sap welled sharp, sweet as any on Galway Quay or the market at Moneymore. The great music that had clanged across the world, of lion voice, of missionary, of sword and stylus, the music that spoke aloud in the insurrections, in the holds where the emigrants sweltered in vermin and hunger, this music was heard in Plymouth Street, Surrey Hills, and was unrecognised. For how could Hughie Darcy, stumbling up that street in the dusk, with the wind blowing dead leaves about his feet, and in his heart the helpless, defenceless despair that comes after drunkenness, know that what he sought, his forefathers sought, and equally misdirectedly? The rainbow that never ended anywhere, the unbeatable conviction that somewhere, sometime, things would be better without his bothering his head to make them so. And how could Mama, flapping about the house in her old slippers, turning the mattresses and exclaiming at the clouds of dust in old, apt, unique phrases that came to her tongue unbidden as birds, know that those same phrases had been used for centuries, rising out of the brilliant logic of the Irish? She only knew that her mother had used them, and standing there amongst the settling curds of dust, she remembered that wicked, invincible little mother who had made them Australian and said a pater and ave for her peace. Only in the little girl, Delore, lying on her stomach and picking her face before a yellow corner of looking-glass, was the fierce positivity of the Celt, a surging energy that made her long for the world she did not know, for thoughts she could not yet comprehend, for experience she could not yet encompass. In her was the infinite delicacy of feeling of the Irish, the very halt of the raindrop before it rolls down the stem, the spin of light on the knife blade, the tremble of the wind harp's string as the blown air touches. She was on the threshold of articulateness and did not know it.